If Congress had not shut down the federal government and tiptoed to the brink of a federal default, we might have had a different top story to report. That story could have been the disastrous rollout of healthcare.gov, the website of the Affordable Care Act. The site was meant to create a simple, easy way for millions of Americans to shop for subsidized health care. Instead, in just over 2 weeks, it has become the poster child for the technical ineptitude of the federal government. NPR's Steve Henn reports.
1 week after healthcare.gov launched, we reached out to Suzanne Cloud, a jazz musician based in Philadelphia. At that point, she had spent hours on the site trying to sign up for coverage.
It kind of went zzz, and something went wrong, and it just went to a page with all kinds of HTML stuff.
This week, I called Cloud back.
Well, I gave up, and I ended up calling in and registering that way.
The folks on the phone took all her information, then asked if she'd like to pick out her plan online or receive information about her health care options via snail mail.
And I said snail mail since I was having problems with the site. Once I signed up with the telephone, I didn't go back and try the site again. Maybe I should.
70 days old and healthcare.gov has become a bit of a joke, even to folks like Cloud who were eagerly awaiting its rollout. So how could a roughly $400 million software project that's been in the works for years have so many problems at its launch? A dysfunctional contracting system clearly bears some of the blame. But I was curious, if entrepreneurs here in Silicon Valley had set out to build healthcare.gov, what would they have done differently? One answer is they probably would have started small.
It's not as if Facebook says, okay, here's our six-year plan for how we're going to make Facebook.com.
Ben Balter.
They build one feature at a time and take a step back, look at how the feature is being used before they go on to the next feature.
Balter says you build something small, then you test it, and when it works for your users, you take the next step. Right now, Balter works for GitHub.
GitHub is a social code sharing service. It's think of it kind of like Facebook for code. So instead of sharing pictures of your kids or posting on like you would on Twitter what you're having for lunch, you're showing what projects you're working on.
By sharing the code you're writing, lots of people can critique it, find the bugs, offer ideas, and make sure it works. It's called open source, and Balter believes healthcare.gov should have been written that way from the start.
Why would you make that code private?
But often when things don't work out in government, the impulse is to duck and cover and clamp down on the free flow of information.
And I think the key reason is the way projects get funded.
Michael Cockrell used to work in startups and is now the chief information officer in Washington State. He says to get a software project funded in the public sector, typically you have to say exactly what it's going to do, spell out how much it will cost, and then say exactly when you'll finish.
And as a result, you end up creating this culture that is all about doing what you said you were going to do.
You can't learn from little failures or adjust course midstream. And instead of taking big jobs, breaking them down into small tasks, and testing for success, a project like healthcare.gov can become a giant all-or-nothing gamble. And Mike Cockrell says, too often, that's a gamble taxpayers lose. Steve Henn, NPR News, Silicon Valley.